the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
To Delhi Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from. Thank you very much. And across the nation, National Talk Black live here from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbaburra Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You're yarning with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. All right, going to start the show off with Murray Law. Thank you very much. We have Michaela French on the line, my sister. Very good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm well, thanks. How are you going?
I'm very good. Thank you for coming to the program, my sister. Now, there's a new law in place regarding signing documents in a pandemic thanks to COVID-19. Queensland new electronic signing and witnessing regulation. So give us a bit of intro to the new law there, sister.
Yeah, so with the social distancing restrictions and the government closures currently in place, anyone who is trying to make a deed or make a will or amend their will or get a mortgage would have experienced difficulties trying to find the documents and get a witness to look at the document as well. So to provide relief to individuals and companies during this COVID-19 pandemic, the Queensland government has passed the Justice Legislation COVID-19 Emergency Response Wills and Enduring Documents Amendment Regulation for 2020. So this regulation will be in force until the 31st of December this year.
Okay, so why is the new regulation important?
Yeah, so what the new regulation does is that it allows a signatory and a witness to sign or witness certain documents by audio-visual links. So, for example, Zoom or FaceTime or Skype or Microsoft Teams.
Is there types of documents that will apply to the new laws as such?
Yeah, so the types of documents that will apply are deeds, mortgages, general powers of attorney, wills, affidavits, and also some statutory declarations.
All right, and can you tell us how virtual signing and witnessing works?
Yeah, no worries. So for affidavits, declarations, and wills, those can be signed electronically and witnessed via video link. So the requirement is that the witness must be a special witness. So this means a person who is an Australian legal practitioner, so a lawyer, a justice of the peace, notary public, or a commissioners for declaration. So once you've got your special witness, you'll be on the video call, and the person signing the document will need to have a paper version of the document in front of them. And so then they need to show the witness on the camera that they're signing the pages of the document.
Okay.
Yeah, and so they also need to do this freely and willingly, so there can't be someone next to them
with a gun at the head.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. It's all legit. what happens after the document is witnessed as such, Michaela?
Yeah, so once the document has been signed and witnessed, the witness must receive either the original signed document or the scanned copy of the document from the person signing.
Okay.
So then the witness will need to sign each page once they receive that document themselves. In addition to this as well, they need to provide a certificate that confirms that the document was signed and witnessed as per this new regulation, the date the document was signed and witnessed, and the steps that the witness took to identify who the person signing was.
Okay, right, yeah. And what are the new rules for signing a deed?
Yep, so a deed is a special type of promise or commitment to do something. So, for example, a deed could be a confidentiality deed, a financial guarantee, or a letter of credit. So for these types of documents, the new regulation allows the deed to be signed electronically, so you don't need to have it like a signed bit of pen on paper.
Mm.
And also the deed can be signed without a witness, so you wouldn't need to have a witness for certain types of deeds. If you're a company as well, you won't need a company seal to sign the deed. And you can also sign in counterpart. So this means that you can print all the signing pages and give it to everyone that needs to sign that document and just collate it.
All right. And what about mortgages?
Yep, so under the new regulations, the mortgages can also be signed electronically. There are some exceptions, so this will apply if the mortgage is lodged through PEXA or the mortgagee holds a mortgage in writing on the same terms and conditions as the one that has been lodged. So that will apply if the mortgage is going to be electronic.
All right, so for a lot of people who haven't got the legal brains as much, as like hogwash is all over the place, where can I go for more information, sister?
Yeah, sure. So if you require some assistance in understanding this new regulation or you're unsure about these requirements for having your documents signed and witnessed, please contact us on 4041 3088 for assistance. And also as well, you could contact the Queensland Law Society on 1300 367 757.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, a different world we're living in thanks to COVID-19, and even when we come out of it, the way of business can change in more ways than one.
Yep. It definitely has been changing.
Lovely, Michaela. Let the mob know, who is Murrawa Law?
So Murrawa Law is the nation's leading independent Indigenous legal firm that specialises in commercial and Indigenous land law.
All right, and how do they contact you guys?
Yeah, so our contact is 4041 3088, or you can jump onto our website, murrawalaw.com.au, to check us out.
Check us out. Represent, Michaela. Thank you very much for sharing. Look, all the best to you.
Okay.
And big shout out to your team there. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Trev.
Bye, Michaela.
Bye.
A deadly yarn there, Michaela French, Murrawa Law, and a deadly sister working with the deadly firm there, Murrawa Law, based in Cairns and Brisbane. And fantastic, and big shout out to Leah Cameron, the director, deadly black woman, and deadly lawyer she is as well, solicitor and director of the organisation. Have your say, mob. Yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416, number of National Talk Black, a voice for our people. We're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bummerbrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. So have your say, yarn up strong, your mob too deadly.
By the river, so I can take you by the hand, hand, yeah. And we can walk and we can talk for hours and hours about nothing in particular at all. Wait, wait, wait. Can lay beside the ocean, fire in our right and the hammock on our left, and the waves at our feet, and the stars will be the only lights that we see, for the red and the blue and the yellow that the burning fire plays. Listen, 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 I can hear it now. Oh, ooh, ooh, ooh. Wait, and I'll follow. And hours about nothing in particular at all. I can feel it from the waves on that ocean, turning me and turning you over, girl. You know I wanna be home too. Ooh.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumblebrook Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your say by calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Are you okay? Yep, that's the phrase that we use in regarding looking after mob and checking if people are okay. We're going to have a deadly yarn now with Stephen Satour. He's the new campaign manager for Stronger Together campaign, and got him on the line. Stephen, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm really well, thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to the program, my friend. Congratulations on your new appointment, campaign manager. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob. Where are you from?
I'm Pittenjetta Yankinjetta and Puttam. I'm from Central Australia.
Oh, fantastic.
And Alice Springs.
Beautiful, beautiful. Bit of background, Stephen. What sort of work have you been doing over the years? And now you come to this new platform. Tell us about, tell the people who Stephen Satour is, bro.
So I've been working in marketing, public relations and events for about 15 years. Started my career out in Townsville when I was still in high school, and I've just been working in a lot of health promotion roles. I've been running a tourism and event company for the past couple of years, and now I've moved into this role.
Fantastic. So you must be pretty excited about working with Are You OK?
Yeah, I'm very excited. I was fortunate enough to be featured in the campaign when we launched in 2019, and that was obviously a really different time. The initial campaign was really just getting that message out there to check in with one another, and now in this time of COVID and the spotlight on racism, it's even more important that we're doing that.
Yeah, well, exactly. We're living in a yucky world at the moment regarding COVID-19 and turned our world upside down. But then you look at the death of George Floyd in America regarding Black Lives Matter, but then it's shone light on here in Australia, in the big country, and regarding black deaths in custody, and over 437 black deaths in custody. It puts pressure on our mob in regarding light is in the tunnel, how are we looking after ourselves. So Are You Okay is a very powerful tool in regarding checking with mob, yes? Don't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I've been talking to some of my old people, and there's been these moments of time when it's really sort of been front and centre. And for some of our old people, it's not new. It's bringing up all these complex emotions from, when they were young people and having to go through this.
And when you look at the Stronger Together campaign, what's involved in the Stronger Together kit?
So we've developed culturally appropriate resources that have been developed to specifically help individuals feel more confident to start the conversation, Are You Okay?
Yes.
So we've got an advisory board that comes from all over the country and have expertise in mental health. So they've been really critical in developing these resources. And then we've got posters and flyers and some videos of people that are talking about how they have the conversation with their friends and their families.
And look, it's a powerful tool, and in regarding Stronger Together campaign message, that came a time when we're reducing rates of suicide, if not stamp it out, and that's the main goal. So a powerful tool in helping our mob, yep?
Yeah, absolutely. The rates that we see in our communities, it's big and it's alarming, and we really have to address it as a country.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations on your new position, appointed position, my friend. Big shout out there to the Are You OK team. Keep doing what you're doing, and you virtually just hit the ground running, my brother. And all the best to you and your family in the world that we live in at the moment. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon, Stephen.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. You take care, brother. All the best.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. a deadly yarn there. His name is Stephen Satua, and he's the new appointed manager for the Stronger Together campaign. And Are You Okay? And that's a beautiful organisation. Checking on Mob, and that's a question we can ask each and every one of us. Are you okay? And have that yarn. Oh, yeah, like Manny talking on radio, got a gift of the gab, but 2 ears, 1 mouth. Using that form, using that order, you know. Listen is a good tool as well. So listen to the Mob and be aware to what's happening with our Mob. To Deadly Mob, thank you for the yarn. Stay tuned. Your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarning with Bully and Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumber Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your say by calls on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Give me a call. Let's have a yarn. Too Deadly.
Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumber Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by giving us a call on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, going to catch up with the new appointed mayor of Aurukun. We have Mayor Kerry Tamwoy on the line, and we're going to also talk about Elders Walk on Wick Country with Aurukun Youth. We have Sister Kerry there. Kerry, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Thank you very much coming to the program, my sister. Before we start, let the Mob know who your Mob, where are you from?
I'm from the Wick and Wickwire people of the Western Cape York of Aurukun, and my clan is Pooch.
Pooch, all right, beautiful. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Congratulations on your new appointment as the mayor. You got into that seat and then dealt with COVID-19, so it was all really upside down and all over the place. But let's talk quickly about that. There was the community was safe in that regards. It was locked down, so we had no cases of COVID-19 in Aurukun, yes?
Yes, that's correct. No cases of COVID-19 in Aurukun. We went into lockdown pretty quickly.
Yes.
And,
That saved the community and looked after the community. So congratulations, you and your deadly team. You've done a fantastic job looking after our Mob and especially our elders up there. And speaking of elders, my yarn today with you is Elders Walk on Wick Country with Aurukun Youth. So tell us about this program and how it came about, sis.
It's with the flexi learning,
mm-hmm.
And that focuses on the disengaged youth in Arakoon. And that I guess they go out. They go out onto country, the surrounding bushlands of Arakoon, and pretty much learn on country as we've always done in the past.
Yes.
You know, being Indigenous, our learning has always been passed on through visual and oral learning.
Because they'd be hearing the yarns from the elders as well, wouldn't they? The storytelling, Dreamtime story, and walking on country. When you're talking about foot in the sand, in the earth of your own country, spiritual and very strong impact there. Yeah.
Yeah, very strong impact, and it puts our elders in a position of leadership, right?
Yes.
And that's where we want them to be.
Exactly.
We want them in those positions. We want that learning to continue. We want the younger generation to have the respect for the elder. And I guess walking on country together for our young people, learning things that, you know, they could not learn
in the classroom. Exactly.
Yeah. So learning all these things, and they're connecting to country, and they're connecting with their elder and forming a bond pretty much with their elder and with the country and with, you know, with nature. And
yeah, look, yeah. I got goosebumps here. My sister sounds so fantastic, so deadly. And also the IKC, which is this Arakoon Indigenous Knowledge Centre, they're working closely with this program, aren't they?
Yes, they are. They're working pretty closely with the program, yes.
Oh, fantastic. It is a team effort, and that old saying, it takes a community to raise a child, and the community is coming together looking after our youth. And, look, a lot of kids, even here in Cairns and look across this country or across the planet, some kids don't gel well with their so-called curriculum in education.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're talking about mob working on country and learning on country, to me that's the best equation, you could say, yeah?
Yeah, it is the best. Your best learning environment would be on country.
Yes.
That's what I believe, on country. I mean, when I was growing up with my siblings, our mum always used to take us out on country.
Mm.
Our elders, our old people always used to tell us, you know, that tree, when it's in bloom, it means that these foods are available.
Yes.
You know, when the tide is this high, we cannot harvest certain things like mud crabs and
see that's the blackboard for our mob. You know, that's the writing on the wall right there.
Yep. Yeah, and it's our children. It's the children learning about our ecosystem and how diverse it is.
True.
You know, and being able to be taught that in your own, pretty much your own background. Backyard,
exactly. Really, and our elders are the professors. They're the teachers, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. The elders would be the best teachers for our children. I myself go to my elder every now and then because there's not everything. I don't know everything.
Beautiful.
You know?
Yeah. That's,
yeah.
And that's a powerful statement coming from a mayor. You're leading from the front, but also open for learning and leading schools from your elders. Let's talk quickly about you, my sister. What made you throw your hat in the ring for the position as mayor, and now you've got that deadly chair? Tell us about your story quickly there, sis.
My story. My mum was a former mayor.
Okay.
Of Arakoon.
And what's her name?
Alison Wooler.
Okay, Alison Wooler, big shout out. Yes, fantastic.
Yep,
so you're following her footsteps.
Yep, thank you. I never ever imagined myself to be in local government.
Mm.
But it's what people wanted. People were almost on a daily basis coming up to me and saying to me, you need to run for mayor, you need to run for mayor.
Yeah.
And I guess people want to change, right?
And change is good. Change is good, yes.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And so it was just doing what the community wanted. And here I am.
Yeah, yeah, congratulations, my sister.
Thank you.
So, look, enjoy that journey, my sis. And like I said, COVID-19 was, how you say, rocky grounds for a new start. But you come through that and you're surviving. We're not out of the woods yet because they haven't got a vaccine for the virus. But your job is keep your deadly community safe. And look, you're doing that and continue doing it. Good yarn with you, my sis, and hopefully to catch up you in person and yarn soon.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Thank you.
No, thank you, my sister. All the best. Big shout out there to the Mob and Arrakoon, and keep doing what you're doing, sis. You take care and stay safe.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Two deadly beautiful yarn there. The new mayor of Arrakoon, Kerry Tamboy, and look, beautiful yarn about how she threw her hat in the ring and has claimed the seat as the mayor of Arrakoon after so many years, a new change, and a female at that. Women can do anything. And our yarn there was Elders Walk on Wick Country with Arrakoon Youth, which is a beautiful program and for kids disengaged and young ones. And look, nothing better than learning on country about country, about self, about spirit, about ancestors, and look, it's a beautiful environment to learn. So fantastic. Have your say, you mob, yarn up strong here on National Talk Black with Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know, at BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. So I want to hear from you, 1-800-422-416. That's the number. Give me a call. Let's have a yarn. Too deadly.
For Bowville, bullet men be my enemy. These killers be running around still, serving and protecting white men like a dog with no leash. I'm drunk off what you sold me, yeah, it's off for the police. Now we say black lives matter, but it's the fact the matter is we just black matter to them. This just keep happening. Let me hear your oh my, oh my. Let me hear your oh my, oh my. This one right here for Elijah, Kalgoorlie, raise your lighters and watch that off of them burn. Down with the murderous liars. He killed a 14-year-old and there's still no hear, no see, no. I fear that there will be no justice ever for my people. So what you finna do, huh? They running this shit, we're running the clip. When the government's all in it, the Royal Commission ain't shit. And man, I'm scared of getting popped by me. Help for them cop, right? It's one for York, this one for Hickey. Next it could be our sock. Now we say black lives matter, but ish, the fact of the matter is we just black matter to them. You should keep happening. Let me hear.
Still the same, still suffering, still want no justice.
17-year-old TJ Hickey was impaled on a fence at Waterloo after coming off his bike in 2004. His death sparked a riot, leaving more than 40 police officers injured. A coroner found TJ's death was a freak accident and there was no evidence of a police pursuit. The Hickey family and supporters maintain he was chased to his death.
Enough is enough. We have done nothing wrong. TJ, we did it.
It's been a long campaign. No one is planning on giving up.
This one's been going too long. My tired hands can hold on. Please someone take me home. Please someone.
My name's Raven and you're listening to Talk Black on BBN 98.7 FM.
A very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBN Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service, for your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, 1-800-422-416. That's the number you need to call. Yes, we are living in a different world thanks to COVID-19, but also with the situation of black deaths in custody in regard to First Nation people in this country. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Professor Luke McNamara from University of New South Wales Law Centre for Crime, Law and Justice, and talk about the five-point plan to reduce Indigenous incarceration and need to act now. Professor, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm well.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, now's the time to act in regards to 437 odd deaths in custody, no conviction, and with the death of George Floyd, it's really shone the light on how we operate in this country, and a lot of work needs to be done in this space, yes?
Oh, it's absolutely true, and it's tragic that we needed yet more tragedy in order to bring this topic back onto the main political agenda in Australia, but that's happened, and it's important that we take this opportunity to recognise that we have had a pathway to reform laid out for us now by numerous public inquiries, way back to the Royal Commission in 1991 with its 339 recommendations. We've had an Australian Law Reform Commission report in late 2017, and so now a number of legal services, including Change the Record and its coalition partners, have come together and said, look, let's take this opportunity. Let's actually make some of the changes that we need to make if we're going to turn this thing around.
Well, we as First Nation people, I mean, for years, we've always just heard the lip service, so to speak, all the conversations that are at the table and the important people at the tables. But, hey, say, well done is better than well said. It comes to mind in regards to we need action, and action is very important, yes?
It's really important, and you're absolutely right. I mean, it's almost... I guess the word that comes to mind for me when I think about what hasn't happened in this space in the last 30 years is disrespect. And what I mean by that is it's not as if the evidence hasn't been gathered. It's not as if the stories haven't been told. It's not as if the recommendations haven't been laid out. And really, it's time for governments to get serious and say, we are no longer going to tolerate a situation where so many Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are in prison and die in custody, and are subjected to punitive fines. It's just, it really has to be now is the time for change.
So, Professor, as a professional in your position and in this space, when you look at the past, so to speak, conversations that are had, does the conversation stay in the so-called in-tray because decisions are not being made, policies not being made at the table in Canberra? So do you feel as though it's always fell on deaf ears?
Yeah, I think so. I think the big picture stuff falls on deaf ears. And what I mean by that is, you know, there are changes that get made to sentencing legislation, to some minor offences, to police arrest powers, those sorts of things. I think we need a much bigger picture change than that. And it's not just me speaking, it's the experts speaking, it's community speaking, but it's also Royal Commissions, the Australian Law Reform Commission. They're saying, let's stop treating the criminal justice system as the place where we deal with society's problems. It's just proven to be not only ineffective, it does more harm than good. So that's why concepts like justice reinvestment are really important to embrace. So the Australian Law Reform Commission said a couple of years ago to government, look, let's get serious about this thing. Let's stop investing huge amounts of money in police and criminal courts and prisons, because we know the evidence tells us that doesn't stop offending, that doesn't improve communities. Let's put that money instead in communities and try and stop offending happening in the first place. It's not really a complicated set of recommendations. It's a pretty simple plan, but I think that's what we need. We need champions in government who are going to stand up and say, I'm going to take a bit of heat for this because people are going to accuse me of being soft on crime and all those sorts of things, but I'm going to say to you, no, I'm not soft on crime. I want crime to stop, which is why I want to send resources upstream into communities so that in 10 years' time, 15 years' time, we have a meaningful effect in terms of the life opportunities for individuals, and therefore their prospects of offending are really significantly reduced.
Well, exactly. The old saying that if you put your head above the crowd, you're going to hit with tomatoes. Well, tomatoes are okay compared to death. We, as First Nation people, we look at the so-called 437-odd deaths in Kasi. That in itself is a pandemic, is how we see it.
Yeah, it's a pretty horrific figure, isn't it? And, you know, and I think we've seen thousands of people in Australia turn out in recent weeks,
Yes. Even
in fraught public health circumstances, because they thought it was important enough to say, look, this is too much, this is enough. And there are young people out there who have been protesting these past few weeks, some of them for the first time ever, because, you know, they weren't around, or they were children in the early 1990s or the 1980s when the deaths in custody movement really began in earnest. But they're saying, oh, my God, this is embarrassing that my country has these rates of incarceration and these rates of deaths in custody. So, you know, I'd like to think that governments, even though they spend a fair bit of time discouraging people from protesting, what they might say is, look, this is serious. If people are that concerned about this problem, we should pay attention to them, and we should actually take away the need for them to protest by taking some concerted reform action. And the five-point plan that's been released recently by a coalition of groups is just really a summary of the key recommendations that have come out from Royal Commissions and Australian Law Reform Commission in recent years.
Well, exactly. And when you look at it, the conversation that needs to be had, very, very important. But then, like I said, we as First Nation people, I mentioned it as a pandemic in regarding deaths, but then we start to think, like, what's happening behind the scenes? Is there a situation where medical industry is favouring the so-called legality system in regarding decisions? Because they were looking at COVID-19, looking at George Floyd in the situation he passed, that he had health problems anyway, and that was the cause of his death. So do we hear those sort of yarns and to deter the fact that there's been deaths in custody and someone has convicted this so-called death and there's been no conviction with these officers who especially wear in the uniform and protect and serve? That's not happening.
Yeah, one of the things that you just reminded me about is how when the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody back in 1991 handed down its massive report after 5 years of investigations, it made so many important recommendations, and many of them had to do with healthcare services, medical, all of that stuff. And I guess one of the things that we need to recognise is that all of these things are interconnected. So we tend to sometimes treat, you know, police and courts as if they're all different from the other parts of a functioning society. They're not. And the evidence is that we need to be addressing those health issues as well.
Well, exactly. And the fact that whoever you are, if you wear a uniform, you're still a human being. So you've got, there's good human beings, there's bad human beings making bad decisions, whatever the case may be. You look at the situation with the officer Hurley from Palm Island, and then he just got transferred down to Gold Coast, and look, the stripes on the tiger, oil always rises to the top. That's his attitude and the way he lives, and he's lost his job in the force because of his actions and his way of thinking.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I think has been crying out for attention for a long time is police organisations and their systems of accountability and review and transparency. So police officers every day are making decisions with huge consequences for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, and how they make those decisions is critical. And I don't think we know enough as a society about the policies and the codes that govern police behaviour. And I think we're entitled to know. I think we're entitled to greater transparency about what the standard operating procedures are, about how police are trained to exercise their discretion, because these aren't small things.
Exactly.
Small things can have big consequences.
And Professor Luke, if you look at the so-called officer who had his knee on George Floyd's neck, if he had just moved 3 inches to the, even on the back, there'd be no riots going on. But there is still a situation that we need to tackle.
Yeah, I think, and I mean, it's a tragic example. It's an awful example, but it's sadly a not uncommon example.
Yeah.
So it had a particularly extreme outcome, unfortunately. But the question of police using force in circumstances where many members of the community will say, "Well, hold on, was that really required?"
Exactly.
That happens far too often, and we have very few mechanisms for holding police to account, and that needs to change as well.
Look, a very important conversation. Thank you very much for sharing, Professor Luke McNamara. All the best to you and your team, your family. We're still living in COVID-19, no virus vaccine for the virus, so we need to stay safe. Thank you for sharing. All the best, and we'll yarn soon.
Thank you, Trevor. Bye now.
Bye-bye. a deadly yarn there with Professor Luke McNamara from University of New South Wales Law Centre for Crime, Law and Justice, and the topic about the five-point plan to reduce Indigenous incarceration. Indigenous organisations and their allies are rightly demanding the Australian government commit to real change. A clear reform path has been laid out by the Australian Law Reform Commission's Pathways to Justice report, numerous inquiries before it, and the powerful voice of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities. Now is the time for concerted action. Yes, it is. As I state, and well done is better than well said. We need to act. The government needs to act. Have your say, your mob. Yarn up strong. 1-800-422-416. Call that number. Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and want to hear from you, mob. Too deadly. Yeah, and we're taking up to twelve noon. So it is 11:48 here in sunny North Queensland. So you're at 12 odd minutes to have your say and yarn up strong. I've got a call on the line. I believe I have a Len. Len, good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Where are you calling from, Len?
Rockhampton.
Rockhampton. Okay, fantastic. What do you want to yarn about, Len?
I'm trying to find a young lady at the time. When we were only 8-year-old, you know, around that age.
Okay.
She lived in St. Lawrence, and her last name was Cook. Her first name was Patsy.
So how many years we're talking, how many years back, Glenn?
Oh, 74 years.
74 years. So you're chasing a Patsy Cook, and, well, that's going back 74 years, so... is she still with us? Do you know that much?
I don't know.
Okay, and her maiden name was Cook, Patsy Cook. And yeah. You don't know if she got married or changed her name?
Yeah, as far as I know, she married a chap by the Mason, named Mason.
That's his first name?
Last name.
Oh, that's his last name. Okay, so her name may be Patsy Mason.
Yeah.
Okay, rightio. So we've taken your number down here. So a message going out to Patsy Cook, maiden name, and you're believing Patsy Mason, her married name, and you know her, you knew her about 74 years ago growing up as kids. So you're trying to get in touch with her.
Yeah, and old Granny Cook used to sit on the back landing in a wheelchair with a pipe, and it was made out of corn cobs.
Okay. Rightio. Well, good luck with it all. And hopefully she'll call us and we got your number. And, of course, no obligations, entirely up to her if she gets in touch with you. But good luck with it all. And thank you for using the vehicle as an Murray Radio here on National Talk Black. Thank you, Len, and good luck with it all. And let us know how you go.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. And keep up this good music. I like the Westerns.
Oh, beautiful. Country music. Can't beat it. Thank you, Len. All the best to you, brother. You take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Len, that's Len there calling from Rockhampton, chasing an old friend. Patsy Cook was the maiden name, and I believe married name is Mason, if that is the case. So if you're out there or you know of this lady, you can contact us here at BBM 1-800-422-416, and we have Len's number. Of course, no obligation for Patsy to make that call, but if you, hey, say curiosity, kill the cat, so to speak, make the call, and hopefully we can tee you guys up. Have you say yarn up strong, yarn in here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Got another call on the line. We've got Michelle. Michelle, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, brother boy. How are you?
I'm very good. Very good. Michelle, where are you calling from?
Perth, love.
Perth. Okay. My sister.
Yeah, Nana Yoga from Perth. Yeah,
lovely.
Yeah.
And what do you want to yarn about, Michelle?
Brother boy, look, what I want to yarn about is that obviously I support the Black Lives Matter rally.
Yes.
I'm deeply saddened is at, you may recall a couple of months ago I spoke to you in regards to the way my son passed away while he was in hospital.
Recall.
And had a massive heart attack, and they wrongfully provided the medical care to him. Well, the 6 months review is now being completed.
Mm-hmm.
And I've submitted my letter onto my barrister that I've engaged to give me some very sound and practical advice as to whether or not I've got solid grounds to pursue legal action or civil action. What I'm really disappointed is that I've been liaison with the Aboriginal Legal Service over here in WA since February this year, explained the matter, because the legal advisor that I'm working with is an actual barrister, and therefore he needs a referral from a solicitor. Now, I've been working with ALS. I've explained the situation to them. Obviously, they don't have the expertise within their legal firm to deal with civil action against negligence or malpractice of any means. I only was advised just 3 days ago that they couldn't do a referral to my barrister because they don't have those expertise in their organisation. And I said, and I was, that shattered me even more, because this is an ongoing crippling pain that I have to constantly relive on a daily basis. And one, because I need closure. And closure isn't going to happen unless, you know, I hold those tasks, make them accountable for the injustices they have served. Now, it's hypocritical when I was advised by ALS that they can only represent those that have been brutally beaten by a police officer or tenderly brutally beaten by a police officer, and that's who they can only represent. I find it very appalling, because at the end of the day, my son was Aboriginal, and you know, I would have thought that this sort of practice, mistreatment, should have been applicable across all Aboriginal people. And the precedence, I'm sitting here, it doesn't matter whether you're black, white or brindle, it's the principle about having a quality of service being delivered and ministered to you while you're in the hospital care. It's very unfortunate now that I had to make a public statement about my disappointment. And whilst I support Black Lives Matter, you know, we're also being responded to international needs and not dealing with our own needs in our own backyard.
Yes.
And I think that we need to start seriously having a good look with those who have been our self-appointed elite leaders to run these rallies, without consultation with the Aboriginal people, and making it a holistic issue. Now, you know, this black death in custody has been happening since 1970s over
exactly.
here. The first black death in custody up in Roebourne happened to a young fella called the late John Pat, and my brother used to work for ALS at that time, and actually did a field trip up to Roebourne area, and witnessed firsthand the prejudice and this systemic racism that was occurring in those small country towns. So, you know, people need to also hear the stories, the historical story. Let's get it right. Let's get our issues. Let's address our issues in our back door first before we can represent the needs of those at an international level.
Of course.
I don't have a qualm against those at international level, but I do have a qualm when we don't get, you know, we don't get the support at a localised level.
Or the complete services.
And our family. And our community. Exactly. You know, what I'm going through now is I'm self-funding it. I don't want no support from any organisation.
But I'd be keen to talk to ATSL to find out the services and what services do they deliver, and how far can we go regarding their support or their service as a legal entity.
Well, you know, you'd be better off going to get somebody from that's in the first year entry level in studying law, because they probably have more knowledge than some of the workforce in the
ALS. That's how you feel, eh?
And that's how I feel.
Yeah, sure.
And I think that's a sad state of affairs. We have, you know, unique issues over here that needs to be addressed.
Exactly.
And there's only always a minority. And, you know, these people that come out of the woodworks when all these, you know, you get that platform, makes it really saddens me, because they're not community grassroots people.
Sure.
And we need to have more community grassroots people leading the charge around the contentious issues and the impacts that are imposing on their lives on a daily basis, which none of these other fathers would understand unless they actually hear the story firsthand. And it's really sad.
Yeah, all right. Well, thank you very much for sharing, my sister. Please do keep in touch, and
I will.
I'll be watching the space very closely, my sister. But thank you for calling, Michelle.
Yeah, I've been told that it's definitely going to be one of those cases that's going to get the public publicity that I am desired to do, and it's not, look, no amount of money can bring my son back.
No.
But it's about sending...
The principle of the matter and, look, fighting with your son's spirit within you, yes.
Yes, yeah. He's number one for me, and I'm going to make sure that justice is served for sure.
Thank you, Sister Michelle. You take
all
care.
Right,
please keep in touch,
take
hey, sis.
Care and keep up with that lovely sunshine over there.
Beautiful. Thank you, sis. That's a deadly yarn, a sad yarn, or the fight that Michelle is having regarding her son and his death, and looking for support, but fighting it all the way, and love to catch up and have a yarn with Atzel to talk about their situation in regard to service to our people, our mob across this country. Have you say yarn of song, 1-800-422-416. We've got Brother Sam Bacco on the line, my brother. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Brother Trev. Good morning.
You're good for the March 3rd, is it? March 3rd, that's this Friday coming up.
7 days from today, brother.
Yeah, bro, yes.
7 days. Michelle, I really feel for the sister there.
Yeah.
I tell you, Trev, what more do I have to say?
Exactly.
What more do I have to say? She said it all.
Yep, you know? Exactly.
It's about the systemic change.
Yep.
That we need to happen. You know, she's gone there for a service. The Aboriginal Legal Service, I wouldn't waste my time.
Okay, brother. Okay, so he feels that there should be more work done or more support in that field with that organisation?
More support in that organisation, but get quality people and restructure the organisation, because half the reason our guys end up in jail is because, unless they plead guilty, the time you've already served, you'll be out straight away. So what do they do? Plead guilty.
Sure.
And
well, you're going with the legal advice, and he feels that it's not sound advice.
Yeah, good sound advice. Yeah, well, say no more. But all I'm saying is you're coming up to news time now. But
yeah, brother,
I just want all of our mob out there next Friday. And bring your mask, bring your COVID. Your sanitizers, I'll have plenty of sanitizer and that there.
Yes.
But all these things need to be put back on the agenda, the systemic discrimination and the systemic racism.
True, brother.
That stands over our people.
Thank you, my brother.